Section 2. The People's Fight for Civil Rights. The actions of the courts played an important role in challenging segregation and unfair voting laws. Court decisions helped enforce the rights guaranteed by the Constitution, making change possible. However, the fight for civil rights was not just led by efforts of the NAACP or the courts, it also came from ordinary citizens. Many people took action on their own, using peaceful protests to demand dignity and justice. People across the country noticed their efforts, and over time, the system of Jim Crow laws was crushed. Bus boycotts. In Georgia's cities, buses were important for getting around town. Many people rode public buses daily to and from work. Buses were also an economical way to travel between cities and states. Georgia law required that black riders and white riders be seated in separate areas of the bus. By the mid-1950s, efforts to end segregation increased throughout the South. A significant event took place in Montgomery, Alabama in 1955. Rosa Parks, a member of the NAACP, refused to give up her seat to a white passenger on a crowded bus. She was arrested and jailed for violating city segregation laws, which required that she give up her seat to a white passenger. News of Parks's arrest spread quickly. In response, African Americans boycotted the city buses, refusing to ride until they were treated equally with white riders. Parks lost her job for participating in the boycott, and for over a year, many African Americans in Montgomery carpooled and walked instead of taking the bus. On December 20, 1956, the U.S. Supreme Court ordered the end of segregated buses in Montgomery, and the bus boycott ended after 382 days. African American pastors in Atlanta, including Martin Luther King Sr. and William Holmes Borders, used their positions to meet with city leaders to improve the lives of black residents. In 1957, Borders and other black ministers organized a protest similar to Montgomery's. Six ministers boarded buses and sat at the front. When white riders exited, the bus was taken to the garage and the ministers were arrested, just as they had planned. Their case went to court, and in 1959, a federal district court declared Georgia's transit segregation laws unconstitutional. Atlanta's black riders could no longer be forced to sit in the back or give up their seats to white passengers. Martin Luther King Jr. and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. The Montgomery bus boycott helped bring new leaders and a clear strategy to the civil rights movement. One of the most important leaders was a young Atlanta minister, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. King and other ministers, such as Reverend Ralph David Abernathy, believed in nonviolent resistance to fight segregation and the Jim Crow system. Their Christian beliefs guided their approach. King famously quoted the Bible in saying the movement would continue until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. In 1957, King and other leaders started the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC, and moved its headquarters to Atlanta. The SCLC helped plan and organize protests. They established citizenship schools that taught local African Americans how to use nonviolent methods. One of King's close aides was Reverend Andrew Young, a minister who had worked on voter registration efforts in the 1950s. He joined the SCLC staff in 1961 and became an important figure in the movement. Many of the young leaders in the civil rights movement, including King and Young, were graduates of Morehouse College in Atlanta. Their education emphasized service and leadership. One of their biggest influences was Dr. Benjamin Mays, the Morehouse president from 1940 to 1967. He was one of the most respected African Americans of his time and an advisor to U.S. presidents, including John F. Kennedy and Jimmy Carter. Dr. King's leadership and dedication to nonviolent protest led to his winning many awards and honors. In 1964, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. Sit-ins spread across the South. In February 1960, four African-American students from Agricultural and Technical College of North Carolina, now North Carolina A&T State University, sat at a white-only lunch counter in a Woolworth store in Greensboro, North Carolina. When they were refused service, they remained seated in protest. More students joined, and soon similar sit-ins spread across the South. A sit-in is a type of protest in which people refuse to leave a public place until their demands are met. Some sit-ins led to the integration of restaurants, while others resulted in violent attacks against protesters. The North Carolina students inspired Savannah students. On March 16, 1960, members of the NAACP Youth Council staged sit-ins at white-only lunch counters in eight Savannah stores. Three students, Carolyn Quilloin, Ernest Robinson, and Joan Tyson, were arrested in the Azalea Room at Levy's department store. In response, African-American leaders W.W. Law, Hosea Williams, and Eugene Gadsden organized a nearly complete boycott of city businesses. They led voter registration drives that helped elect a moderate city government under Mayor Malcolm McLean. Sit-ins and the boycott continued until October 1961, when Savannah repealed its ordinance requiring segregated lunch counters. At the same time, students in Atlanta organized sit-ins. Before the protests, an open letter was written asking the city to end segregation. A week later, over 200 students staged sit-ins at lunch counters. Negotiations between the students and city leaders failed. Sit-ins resumed in October with the Magnolia Room, a well-known restaurant in Rich's department store, as a primary target. On the first day, over 50 students were arrested, but the protests continued. Mayor William B. Hartsfield tried to find a compromise between black leaders and white business owners, but they could not agree. After a 30-day truce, protests resumed, filling the jails and hurting businesses. Finally, in 1961, leaders reached a deal to desegregate in the fall. Martin Luther King Jr. convinced students to accept the delay. John Lewis and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Following the Greensboro sit-ins, an activist at the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC, helped students form Atlanta's Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. Two important SNCC leaders were John Lewis and Julian Bond. John Lewis grew up in Troy, Alabama, and was inspired by the Montgomery bus boycott and Dr. King. As a college student, he joined sit-ins and became a freedom rider in 1961. He later helped lead voter registration drives and was brutally attacked during the 1965 march from Selma, Alabama, to Montgomery. Lewis later moved to Atlanta, served on the city council, and was elected to Congress in 1986, where he worked for over 30 years. In 2011, he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Julian Bond was a student at Morehouse College, where he founded the Committee on Appeal for Human Rights. He became SNCC's communications director, later served in the Georgia General Assembly, and was chairman of the NAACP. The Freedom Rides. Even though the courts banned segregation of bus passengers, many southern states ignored the ruling. In 1961, Freedom Riders boarded buses together to challenge segregation. The activists were both black and white. The first Freedom Ride started in Washington, D.C., and was bound for New Orleans. A quick look at the map shows that such a route would take riders through many segregated states. The riders passed through Georgia peacefully, but in Alabama, white mobs violently attacked them. In Anniston, Alabama, a mob slashed tires and set a bus on fire. In Birmingham, riders, including John Lewis, were severely beaten. Despite the violence, Freedom Riders continued their mission, forcing the government to enforce desegregation laws. The Albany Movement. In 1961, a major effort to end segregation began in Albany, Georgia. In this rural area, most black residents depended on white employers, making protests risky. However, Albany had a strong middle-class black community. local citizens joined the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, aiming to register African Americans to vote. That November, a group known as the Albany Movement was formed. Protest marches for equal rights led to the arrest of hundreds. Martin Luther King Jr. and his team arrived in December to support the Albany Movement and were arrested. King's presence and arrest brought national attention to the situation. When he returned in 1962, he chose to serve jail time instead of paying a fine and being released quickly. However, King and others were released against their will when an anonymous person paid their fines. The Albany Movement slowed down in the fall of 1962. The Albany police chief continued arresting marchers until hundreds were jailed in overcrowded and unsanitary conditions. Although the Albany Movement did not result in the immediate change many hoped for, it helped empower black citizens. More African Americans registered to vote, and segregation laws in the city eventually ended. The March on Washington. In 1963, the civil rights movement continued to grow in the South. After learning from the challenges in Albany, King and other civil rights leaders focused on Birmingham, Alabama. Americans watching the television news saw shocking images of peaceful protesters being attacked by police dogs and knocked down by powerful fire hoses. More than 3,000 people, including Dr. King himself, were arrested. Even children were put in jail. While in jail, Dr. King wrote his famous Letter from a Birmingham Jail, urging white Americans to recognize the injustice of segregation. These events prompted President John F. Kennedy to support a civil rights bill in Congress, asserting it was time for the nation to uphold its promise of equality. Many Southern lawmakers, including Georgia's senators and congressmen, strongly opposed the bill. In response, civil rights leaders organized the March on Washington in August 1963. Approximately 250,000 people, both black and white, gathered in Washington, D.C., for a powerful demonstration. The event began at the Washington Monument and concluded at the Lincoln Memorial. It featured prayers, music, and speeches advocating for racial justice. Famous singers performed, and religious leaders from various faiths spoke in support of the movement. Representatives from all five major civil rights organizations delivered addresses. Speakers also included white supporters of the movement, such as a prominent labor leader, Protestant and Catholic clergy, and Jewish rabbis. The highlight of the day was Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. As a powerful speaker and gifted writer, he delivered one of the most renowned speeches in American history. He spoke about the struggles of African Americans and called for justice and equality. He urged individuals to reject hatred and bitterness, envisioning a day when people of all races could live together peacefully. In his speech, King references Georgia twice. He stated, "I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood." Ultimately, he called for freedom to ring across the nation, proclaiming, "Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia." This was significant because Stone Mountain was recognized as a major gathering place for the Ku Klux Klan. Despite the hopeful tone of King's I Have a Dream speech, 3 weeks later, white supremacists exploded a bomb at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Four young girls, Addie Mae Collins, Denise McNair, Carol Robertson, and Cynthia Wesley, were killed in the blast. The bombing increased pressure for federal action on civil rights legislation.